That's my advice for players and coaches.
Find a way.
Create your own opportunities. Yeah. You know, find a way and create your own opportunities, no matter how long it takes.
They need to find somebody that's going to love them and take care of them and prepare them for the real world. Because this baseball thing ain't going to last forever.
And I think where JUCO becomes a fantastic option is if you don't fall in love.
I think it's really important that we link, as parents and coaches, we've linked identity with you know, who they really are, and leave baseball as the thing that they do.
Welcome to the Baseball Blue Book Podcast, where the journey is greater than the destination. Brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book app. Are you in the book? And now, your host, Eric Wobenhall.
Today we have a special guest on the Are You In The Book podcast, someone whose perspective adds a unique layer to the recruiting journey to college baseball. Please welcome Alisa Childkraut, a baseball mom with invaluable insights into the highs and lows, the triumphs, and the challenges of navigating the baseball world. Hi, Alisa. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead and start by just giving us a little background on you. I know that you had a daughter that played at the collegiate level in tennis, but then also the son who's kind of going through the process today. And we'll go ahead and hand it over to you.
Great. Thanks, Eric. So yeah, I went through the process with my daughter. She's currently a sophomore playing in a mid-major D1 tennis program, and she had somebody who helped her in the recruiting process, and that's my background of knowing about the recruiting process, knowing what I liked and didn't like. Unfortunately, with her, it was mostly what I didn't like. But let me just segue for a moment. My business that I've had for 20 years is legal recruiting. So I do recruiting professionally.
Okay.
I have law firm clients all across the country that I work with that we go out and headhunt lawyers for them. And so I've been in the recruiting business, but I have no idea what to do when it comes to my kids' sports. So as a backdrop, I had a little bit of an understanding what I would want from somebody who I was working with. So when I worked with my daughter, or my daughter worked with a recruiting person, let's just say it was not a good experience. She ended up where she needs to be, so I'll give her that. But it was all on her own. The person really didn't help guide her, give her much insight into what each program was. Basically told her, these schools you can write a letter to and these schools you can't. You're not good enough here and you're okay here. And it provided absolutely zero value. And I expect when you pay for a recruiting person, you get value. So I went out and I did a search to find somebody that I could use for my son for baseball. And meanwhile, I'm a recruiter, but I don't know any college coaches. I don't know what's important. I don't know the metrics. I don't know who to talk to, the history. And all of that is why my clients paid me to do what I do, because I understand that. But with baseball and tennis, not so much. So I did a lot of research and I came across Walter Beatty's information. I believe it was either on Instagram or Facebook, I don't recall. And I started a dialogue with him and got to know him. And what stood out to me initially is Walter's not a transactor. What I mean by that, he's not just doing transactions to do transactions. I felt like getting to know Walter and him getting to know my husband and myself and my son, we learned that he was much more of a consultant. And that to me was what I was looking for. Whereas with my daughter, I had somebody who wanted to take tennis player A and put him in a spot here and call it a day.
Right.
Without much thought was if whether it was a good fit or not. So when I found Walter, I thought I hit the jackpot. Here is somebody who is getting to know my son. He spent more time getting to know my son than my husband and myself, which was great because we're not playing college baseball. He is. And Walter interviewed him, and I won't say he interviewed Walter, but I think we interviewed Walter. Walter interviewed my son, watched video, met him in person, has spent considerable time with him, has seen him at a showcase, has introduced him to college coaches. And he is head and shoulders above anybody I talked to when I was in the search for finding somebody who knew baseball. He just came across as the guy who knows everything, knows the people to call, knows what a fit is. And I can honestly say meeting Walter will be life-changing for my son and for us as a family.
Before we get into kind of what that life-changing events are because of your introduction to Walter, go back and talk a little bit about, you had mentioned it wasn't transactional. I think this is very important for people to understand. And as a recruiter yourself, kind of what you've taken from building your own business and understanding what the value that you can bring to your clients and what's missing. So talk about the transactional, the consultant, kind of the value that you would see or what you would expect coming out of that world.
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Because as my business, we've been in business, it'll be my partner and I, for 20 years. And the biggest compliment we get from our clients is, wow, you knew exactly what I wanted. I felt like you were on my team. I felt like you were sitting in the boardroom with us, helping us find the perfect person. And when all was said and done, the client's super happy, our candidate's happy, we're happy. It's a win-win situation. And then they tell me, so many people just send us resumes and see what sticks. And you really understand our business. You've taken the time to learn who we are, what we're about, what works with us. So to me, that's all I know in the recruiting business. Our shop is not just transactions. We are consultants. We get to know our clients. We get invited to their holiday parties. We get invited to parties at their home, cocktail parties, et cetera. We're invited to sit in on board meetings. They view us as somebody who really understands them. And when I met Walter, I felt like he was to baseball what my clients see as us in our business, he's providing a consulting service. And I hate to use the word service, but it really is. We're in a service business. We're all in a service business. No matter what we do, there's a service component. So he provided a valued proposition of looking at my son, Joshua, who's a senior right now, and helping him chart his best path without saying, you know, you're going to go play here or go here or go here. He's really charted a path. And wherever that path ends up, I fully believe he'll be in the right spot. And we've put our faith in Walter implicitly that he knows what Joshua wants. He knows what we want as a family. And he's providing consulting to get us to that goal. And not just trying to make a quick match and be done, or tell Joshua to make a list of 20 baseball programs and send emails, which is what in my business, my clients don't want. And my candidates don't want, they don't want just a list of names. They want somebody who's going to take the time to get to know them and put the work in and find that perfect spot. And I really feel like that's what we're getting with Walter.
You know, that's really, really good, great insight. And for anyone that's not listened to Walter's podcast, it's Coach Beatty podcast, and you can find it on Apple, Spotify. You also can find it on YouTube. One of the things that I love about Walter is when you hear him talking with coaches, there's from a transaction that you can, right? He has a personal relationship with hundreds of coaches across the country. And more importantly, he got to know your son rather than try to sell or try to put him in a position that may or may not be in the right place for your son, right? It's kind of what you talked about in your recruiting and what you do. This is a long-term thing. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing in the baseball community that's not going the direction I think that we really liked it to go. Transactions lead to discontent, and then the portal becomes this massive place where everybody wants to transfer out because they didn't spend the time up front to find. And I would imagine in your business, you're not trying to find an attorney for a corporate client. that is a transaction base. It's a long term. They have to understand the business. And I think the same thing applies with baseball. But again, plug for Walter Beatty. It's now the Coach Beatty podcast. And he interviews these coaches. And you'll find, I think, what Elisa has seen, his true passion and understanding and relationship that he has with a lot of these coaches. So with that, you talked to me last week kind of about didn't really understand it. You knew tennis, so helping your daughter was a little easier. Baseball's completely foreign to you. It's a whole different ball game. Anybody that thinks they understand recruiting for college baseball, they're kidding themselves, because it's totally different than all the other sports, in my opinion. What were your first few steps kind of before the pre-Walter engagement? What were some of the things that you were running into and some of the experiences that you were having through that?
Yeah, so with tennis, just as a backdrop, tennis is everybody has a rating. Everybody's got a ranking. Everybody's got, you know, plays in a lot of the same national tournaments. So, you know, head-to-head wins and you know what somebody's ranking is. Not to, you know, harp on tennis, but it at least gives you a path to go forward where you can look at a team's roster and go, okay, here's where my kid is and here's where the team is. It's a good fit, or they're here and we're here, not a fit. So I had that to help guide her. However, in baseball, unless you pay to go to a PBR event or one of these other events, which we haven't done, you don't have a ranking. And then I know a lot of the top players don't go to those events. So then you have metrics when they're posting, you know, the top 20 players. Well, it's the top 20 players who showed up for that event. It's not necessarily the top 20 players. And like tennis, the top 20 players go play those events. It's not, they don't do it. So I had no idea where to start with baseball. And my son didn't know where he stood. Because people would tell him, you know, hey, you'll play college baseball. What does that mean? I mean, there are 3,000 places you could go. I don't know what that means. You'll play college baseball. So we had nothing to go on. I mean, yeah, he's a great baseball player, but I mean, in my book, but does that mean anything? So right. Didn't even really know where to begin. And I told him, I said, Joshua, I think you need to send some letters, because that's how my daughter did it. He was like, what am I going to say? I said, well, let's do some research what one would say. Like, do you talk to him about your pop time? Do you talk to him about your 60-yard time? Do you talk about velo? I don't know. What do you put in the letter? So I started doing research to figure out how to help himself, because he wasn't one to market himself, because he was taught from an early age, they'll find you. Well, if you're not doing these events and you're playing on the travel team that's playing in local tournaments and your high school is an okay high school, like, nobody's really seeing you. So yeah. How do you get out there? And he really thought, well, they'll find me. Maybe they will, I don't know. So I started trying to do some research to help him start formulating letters and knowing what to put in the letter. And that's where I think I came across Walter had some information on what to include in the letter when you're sending out a letter. And so I started doing some research of like, wow, this guy's the wealth of knowledge. This is the information I need to tap into. Not so much me, but my son. But he kind of thought they would find him, naively, I will admit, just because right. That's what people had always said. Don't worry. If you're good enough, they'll find you. So what we didn't realize is you might be good enough, but if you're not in front of the right people or talking to the right coaches or having a consultant who can be honest with a prospective coach, let me tell you about Joshua and here's some of the greatest selling points and let me tell you what he needs to work on and you tell me, it is the effect. Like, we needed that person who would be his advocate and help him with feedback and help him get to where he's going. And that's where Walter came in. Since we kind of fell flat on our face, not knowing what to do and waiting for them to come and find him, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you brought that up, because I think those are the two extremes. And I think what I love about what Walter brings to the table is it's neither. The first is, if you're good, they'll find you. That's one extreme. The other one is, well, if you pay to play, they'll find you. And it's kind of like, what about everything else, right? Do we want to go to every showcase? Because the coaches aren't going to be able to go to every showcase. And then pay, you know, if you're good enough, they'll find you. I think technically that's probably true, but you need exposure. I think that brings a great point to what you said. My question to you is, I guess the kind of the devil's advocate of this is, why did you make the decision not to play when you've heard these things and the community out there is crazy, right? You probably had other moms and families and kids are joining travel teams and showcases and all of these things. Why did you make the decision not to do that and go that route?
Interesting question, because it seems like that's the obvious thing we should have done. I had one of my son's good friends, who I actually introduced to Walter as well, but his dad is in the baseball space. He knows baseball, not like college coaches, but he knows like the baseball business because he's in the baseball business. And the two boys played on the same summer team together and they played the same high school team. And so I got to spend countless hours with this gentleman named Tom. And Tom knew I was a novice baseball mom. I mean, I know how the game is played. I get that. I know the rules. But beyond that, like, what's the pathway? Like, what do you need to do? Do you go here? Do you do this or that? And he would share his information. I'm not saying he is 100% right, knows everything, but he would always say to me, you don't want to go do those events. That is not where you want to be. That is just, not to knock the organizations, but that's not where you want to spend your time or your money. You want to focus on development. Focus on Joshua becoming the best he can be. And then maybe in senior year, go do those things if you're going to do them, but certainly not as a freshman or sophomore or junior, because Joshua today is 6'3 and 220-ish, but in ninth grade, he was 6 foot and about 140. And I've been to some of these events where you see all these kids and you can pick out the guy who looks athletic,
right?
Who's physical. And Joshua as a freshman was not that kid. Now he's that kid out there that looks like he's really physical. So the advice that my friend Tom would say was, these are not where you need to spend your time. Now, if you want to go to a college, like if there's a college you really are interested in and you want to go do their camp on their campus with their coaches and get exposure doing that, go for it. But just going to these big, you know, go take 10 swings, go run a 60 kind of thing, I don't think that's in Joshua's best interest. Now, he was telling me as a friend, not right, having a lot of wisdom in this space, me not having a lot, I thought that was probably good advice, because the 6 foot, 145 pound kid was not going to impress anyone. I can tell you that. So we kind of followed that advice and took the route that at some point he would develop like stronger and bigger. And then at that point, he could go to a showcase and do his thing or whatever the event was. We did do one last year, which I think was a very good experience, but it was very different doing it as he's grown as right, opposed to 3 years ago. But I think we've done far fewer than we would have senior year, luckily, because we met Walter. And I don't think we necessarily needed to do that.
So looking back and starting with the frustration, I mean, it's hard to sometimes look back and go, man, this is frustrating and I don't know where to look. Certainly Google, we'd all become Google experts, you know, and fortunately you found, I think, a really good person, obviously, with Walter. But kind of looking back and talking to baseball moms like you and coming up through this, you've got some kids that are showing interest in baseball specifically. you know, at the 12, 13 years of age. What is your advice specifically? Kind of what should they start doing, should be looking for, and kind of put that mom's ease. One of the things that I'm really excited about is I want moms to share their experience rather than kind of hide it. And you find that sometimes in the sports world, right? Because it's so competitive, right? I did this, but do I really want to show it? But I think you're coming from, you know, really wanting to help people going, hey, there's so much that there's so much, and the new word, right? There's so much mis and disinformation out there as far as what you should do. Why don't you give your kind of your advice to other moms and dads that are going or starting this process?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I mean, if I know what I know now, if I knew what I know now back then, we probably would have done things a lot differently. For example, back at my son started baseball late, so let me be fair on that. He didn't start till he was 10 and a half, almost 11. So he started the sport late, but he was a, I don't know, 3-4 sport athlete. He plays every sport. So picking up baseball was just like a tennis serve. I mean, he transitioned well, but by the time he was 12 and 13, it was the pressure of what team are you on? Summer team. Did you play for the, I won't use names, but XYZ team, because you know, that's a great team. And, or what about that team with that name? When in actuality, it's a churn and burn, and it's just a money suck, and you get very little coaching, if any. It's all about, did you win the ring? And as a mom of a 12, 13-year-old baseball person, I kind of thought that's what it was about. But now if I could go back, I wouldn't have done that. I would have spent the time having Joshua do player development work, and which is how I met Tom, the gentleman I alluded to before. He owns a player development program, and he asked Joshua to join it when he was in ninth grade. And they kind of put the whole, don't worry about the summer team. Yeah, you can get out there and play games, but the thing you need to do is work on development. You need to be working on basics and strength and agility and speed and all of those things. I wish we had started at a younger age and really focused on it. So I think spending money on a travel team is not where I would focus. I'd focus more on development and let them have fun playing baseball. I mean, it's good to play on a team. It's fun. It's camaraderie. But if that's all you're going to do is play on a travel team and there's no practice and development in between, it's really kind of pointless for your future. And our summer team, there were the haves and the have-nots. We had a group of boys who all wanted to play college baseball. They worked hard. They did player development. They trained and they did that. Then you had the guys who come, I don't know, March or February when their high school season would start, they would dust off their gloves and go out and start playing. And then when summer was over, they'd hang it up and come back in February. And the boys that wanted to play in college baseball didn't act that way. They were year round. Now that doesn't mean they went all out year round. You know, they would maybe do a throwing program in the winter or more weights and strength and such. So I would focus more on athletic ability and strength and size and skill than worrying about what team I played on. That would be a big thing I would look at. And I would highly encourage a kid to get in the weight room and love the weight room at a much younger age. Joshua loves the weight room. He actually lifts twice a day. He loves getting in there, and he likes being the strongest guy in the room. I mean, that kind of makes him, I'm not saying he's always the strongest guy, but he likes to do that. He should have started that at a younger age. Luckily, when he met Walter suggested that he spend more time in the weight room. Great advice, and it's improved everything immeasurably. So had we not met Walter, if he stayed at his former high school, he might have lifted weights only on rain days, because his former high school only lifted weights on rain days, which isn't really the right program. So he switched high schools for a better academic and better baseball program, and now they lift weights every day, and it's made a big impact. So I think as a parent, it's easy to get caught up in what everybody else is doing. And when everybody on your team is going to X, Y, Z event and you don't go and you feel like, wait, what if I'm missing out? Yeah. And there's a lot of that. And that's hard to get away from. And the other part is people don't want to talk about what they're doing. Because I can tell you when my daughter's going through the process between close friends, nobody would talk about what their kids were doing. Because there are only a few spots for tennis right. in each school. And you don't want to give somebody a lead that you're pursuing. So nobody talked about it. So I find it's sort of a lonely world when your kid's coming up. You need that person to talk to. And my buddy Tom, he was great for he and I to talk about things because our two boys were not competitors of one another. His son's a middle infielder. My son plays catcher or first base. So they're not competing for any of the same spots. And so it made it nice to have somebody I could converse with to understand more about the process. But I do feel like it's a lonely world. People don't want to share. I'm happy to share. I feel like we've been very fortunate to come in contact with Walter. I've had a lot of people ask for references and I've gladly given them because I feel like Walter has been life-changing for us, life-changing, which I haven't really got into, but he will have changed the trajectory of Joshua's future without a doubt, regardless of where he ends up. And I'm not sure you can say that about most people you work with. So,
I think that's great. And I'm going to ask one question, but I want you really to focus on kind of that life changing and the trajectory of Joshua's life because of Walter. But I think what I love about Walter is when you sit back and maybe when you've gone through this process, there's so much common sense that he talks about. And he also gives you the permission to not get sucked into the kind of the hype. He understands what coaches are looking for. He's had a son that's gone through the whole process. He's seen the bads and the goods, and his heart is really to help people and to help these kids find the best opportunity that they could have. So talk about that trajectory, because I think it's a little different and unique that what some parents may not see as what they thought could be the path. I think that's where I'm coming from. You probably a couple of years ago had no idea that this would be the path that he's going. And now you're sitting here going, this is amazing. It's exactly where he needs to be. And without meeting someone like Walter, I'd hate to see where it was, right? Obviously it wouldn't have been bad, but it certainly isn't what it is today. So go ahead and share with the audience kind of what that trajectory is and what's in store for Joshua.
Yeah. So I think every kid's different. So first of all, I think Walter doesn't have a cookie cutter approach because I've referred to people to Walter who he's working with and their kid's very different from my kid and their path is very different than my son's. So first of all, it's very different, but his trajectory, which has been greatly changed, is when Walter met Joshua, he asked him what was important to him, and academics are important to my son. Playing high-level baseball is also important, and you don't have to decide one or the other. And Walter got him to see that his best path forward would be to use his baseball to better his academic situation. He has very good grades, very high test scores. He could academically apply to most schools. It's tough to get in anywhere, but I mean, on paper, he could apply to a ton of schools. But what Walter got him to see is he can trade his academic prowess for baseball opportunity, which I don't think he realized. That being said, Joshua is a young senior. He turned 17 in June. So he'll start college in next fall, just turning 18. Walter got him to see that most of the kids who are freshmen are close to 20 years old. Right. And while Joshua's a bigger boy, he's still a boy. He hasn't gotten into his man body yet. He still has a few more inches, according to the doctors, to grow. And Walter wants to see him put on like 15, 20 pounds before he shows up. So he's got a lot of growing to do. So Walter talked to him about going to a postgraduate program, which the only postgraduate program I've ever heard of or that I knew about personally is like IMG, which is really just about baseball. And Walter got him to see that if he would do a postgraduate program that is academically rigorous and the baseball piece with that, he would set himself up for many opportunities that Joshua might have dreamed about before, but never thought it would ever be a reality. It would have not even been the realm of a conversation. He would have never thought I could maybe compete at an Ivy League or an Ivy League like school. It just wouldn't have been anything he would have thought about. If somebody asked him, would you be interested in an Ivy League? He would have thought, there's no way I could ever do that, and dismiss, move on. And Walter got him to really understand he could do that. Not just because he says he wants to do it.
Right.
But that he's got the skill, he's willing to put in the work, and he's working really hard on his academics. And if he goes to a postgraduate year and spends a year doing that, he will set himself up for a future that is nothing we could have mapped out 2 years ago. It was not even on our horizon. So when I say Walter's advice is life-changing, it truly is. Because if he gets into the postgraduate program, he's applied to a couple, if he gets into one of those and attends, he will set himself up for a future that none of us could have predicted, not even from the baseball perspective, but the people you meet and the people you become friends with and the people who are ingrained in the community and business. He's going to have a whole new social circle of people that will be a huge benefit in his life going forward outside of baseball. Then you factor in the opportunity to play at some of the schools he's interested in. It makes a huge difference. And we had no idea. When Walter said postgraduate year, I'm like, what is that? IMG. And he explained, and that's not the right move for every kid. And that's where Walter's consulting comes in, because he got to see what was important to Joshua and what Joshua's strengths are, and was able to talk to him about it. And now they've got a relationship where Joshua texts Walter directly. I'm out of it. They communicate. He sends Walter videos. He sends Walter things he's working on. Walter sends him videos of things to look at. And Walter is brutally honest. When he doesn't like something, he tells Joshua, you know, here's what you need to work on. And a day later, he sends him another video and he goes, that's exactly right. So they've got that working relationship, which comes back to consulting. But Joshua has bought into it. Not every kid's going to buy into it. Joshua put his blinders on. Walter's convinced him in a good way. Don't worry about the noise. Don't worry about where your friends are signing. Don't worry about who's committed.
Yeah.
We know where that goes. Keep your blinders on. Keep the hard work up, and you'll be where you need to be. And Joshua's bought into it 100%. And we feel very comfortable he will be where he needs to be when all is said and done. And it will be life-changing, 100%.
That's awesome. Lisa, one of the things that I love about Walter is Walter's got the pulse of what's going on in the baseball community and the industry. And I encourage anyone that has not listened to the Coach Beattie's podcast. He interviews coaches all across the country. I mean, I think this last one, he had LSU, the champion coach on, Johnson. He's had Harvard's coach, Duke. He's had Arizona. He's had them all, USC. And I also do interviews with coaches from all levels. And you know, it's about finding that fit. And we say that kind of in jest, but it's so true. It requires your homework. It requires the blinders. It requires hard work. But there's a lot of great coaches, and using either academics to pursue a baseball career, or using baseball to pursue an academic career. It, like Lisa, what you said, it all kids are a little bit different. And I think, you know, throwing them in, like you said it perfectly, right? The travel ball, the summer ball, these things are great. They're entertaining. Kids are, you know, doing it to build relationships and have fun. I think that's all great. But if your goal is to play at that next level, there's a lot more to do. And someone like a Walter, Walter Beatty is a friend. Walter Beatty is a colleague. Walter Beatty adds a huge amount of respect and kind of what we're looking for at the Baseball Blue Book is to educate and provide that consultative kind of view to what parents are going through, right? They're going through this, right? Let's do everything we can to help. And you've said it so, he's opened your eyes. It's completely a different direction. Alisa, last word is yours. And, you know, anything that you'd like to add?
Well, I can't say enough good things about Walter. And I'm happy to talk to anybody. I've probably talked to 10 parents in the last couple of months who wanted to know about Walter. And each and every time, I mean, I just tell them, look, it's the best decision we ever made. I mean, he is by far our go-to person. And now we can all rest, keep our blinders on, stay focused, keep our eye on the prize. Don't get caught up in what everybody's doing, which is really hard when everybody's doing X. And yep. You feel like, am I being a bad parent? I didn't sign up for that. Like, I didn't take my kid there. I didn't do this. And I've taken it out of my hands. And I don't mean to say blindly, I just say whatever, Walt. I mean, I trust Walter. We've had dinner with him several times. We've been going back and forth to the Boston area for these postgraduate interviews and school visits. And each time we go there, Walter always makes time for us. We always sit down. He always visits. He talks to Joshua. He doesn't talk to me. I mean, I'm there, but it's about the young man and him, and they've got that relationship, and I will venture to guess Walter might get a, you know, invite to Joshua's wedding one day. I mean, it's just, that's how impactful he has been so far. And we're not even done with the journey. I mean, we've started the journey, and I know Walter will be in his life going forward. And if he can play at the next level, I mean, who knows what things bring, but I know there's not an expiration on, I'm only helping you for 12 months and that's it. Yep. He will help Joshua through baseball, whether he moves into coaching or management or playing at a different level. He will be there for him, and he's become a friend. And I didn't know him from Adam until this all started, but I feel like we are so fortunate to get to know Walter. He's really a class act. Got the kids' best interest at heart. He doesn't need to know what I need. He is focused on Joshua. Now, he takes the parents' parameters, what's important to them, but he focuses on the kid. And he's such a great guy. I just can't say enough good things. And if anyone wants to call me, you're welcome to give him my number. I'm happy to provide any references if anyone wants to talk about it. In fact, when we get off, I've got a message from somebody who wants to talk to me about Walter. So I'm happy to do that.
No, Walter always talks about raising young men. And it's one of the things that when I go through my list of all the coaches that I've interviewed, you know, the ones that hit the top, the ones that I enjoyed the most were the ones that were always talking about the development of the character of the player, right? It was very little about baseball. It was more about the character. And when I want to surround myself with people like that, if they've got the skill and they have the work ethic, they're going to go to the level that they can go to. Right. I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, one of my favorite quotes was a coach. He was a Division II coach down in Georgia. And he said, you know, these kids, you got to love them. You got to take care of them. You got to help develop them. But this baseball thing is going to be over sometime. So you better find something that they love. It always ends. And I think that was such a great quote from a coach that coaches baseball, right? He's paid to win games and find players that play, but his number one responsibility was to help raise these kids and help them become, you know, an added value to society. And that's what Walter is. I mean, you've said it many times. I don't have to say it. More than one person calls up and says, I want to talk about Walter. So
I didn't say, and I forgot to say, his baseball videos with the head coaches, we listen to them. We're on a road trip, we're driving, we'll listen to them. And we listened to Walter and the Princeton coach the other night. There are so many things that resonated, and he loves the PG year, and he loves this. And the information he gets from each and every coach is invaluable to hear. And they all come at it from a different angle. But what really strikes me when you listen to these, the immense respect these coaches have for Walter.
Yep.
Walter has for them, but they have for him. They're busy. They're, you know, in the middle of their season, and they're taking their time and they're visiting with him. They've got great respect for him. And I know when Walter tells Joshua that program A, B, and C are a good fit for you, I know he's talking about, for the 4 years you're going to be there, these are the guys you want to be with. These are the people you need to be with. So he's not giving Joshua any advice that is slippery or not going to provide a good situation, because he knows what's important. So the respect that these coaches have for him, I mean, it's invaluable.